Blog Talk Radio.
It's the V-Spot. I'm your host, Dr. Vic Tater. My co-host is Bill Foster. V-Spot Radio is brought to you by Planet Vic Tater Blog Network. Get everything you need and a few things you truly do not want. Only at Planet Vic Tater. Okay, we're on the air. Our last return show didn't do well, but it's okay because no one listened to it. So I'm doing ready stunts now by bringing Latino heartthrob Miguel Garza. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm all right. I took a pill earlier. And with me, as always, is my associate and manservant, Neil Foster.
I spent the afternoon slot sleeping in a ditch.
I officiated my first wedding in December.
Really? Neil, I'm doing one in May.
Yeah, Neil's brother, it was for Neil's brother, so Neil was in a tuxedo, and I basically walked around all day pretending I had a butler.
That's awesome.
And we got our picture made. I got the wedding photographer to make a picture of us. And Neil was not aware of this. I got the picture, and I'm going to put it on Facebook and label it Alabama's First Gay Wedding.
Oh, you'll be sure to get some backlash for that.
Well, Neil will. See, Neil's the gay guy they're going to gay bash. I'm the gay guy they're not going to want to walk into an alley with.
At least have some decency and pixelate his face.
You're going to be in like that beginning of Highlander. That when he's up of the hag. Why, you looking for some?
Okay, well, we were going to... Last time we were talking about Sonny, and again, I don't know what happened. It was just me and Neil, and neither one of us were feeling it. So we brought in Harpo. Harpo Garza, that's his internet handle. To talk about the show, too. So, do you remember when you first saw the show?
I saw the very first episode when it was on Fox, not FX.
Okay, I saw it when it was on, I saw a few episodes in the second season, and it didn't catch my attention. And it was in the third season. I caught the third season premiere, and I was just watching it because nothing else was on. And it ended up just killing me.
It's one of those shows.
The baby.
Oh, the dumpster baby. Yeah, that was a great one. Yeah, the very first episode they showed, it was like a sneak preview episode. It was the one where they get the community service and they have to coach a basketball team.
Yeah. You know the part when Mac puts the safety pin in that kid's wristband.
Oh, dude, that
and
is like...
He stabs this kid in the back, and the kid is just cries out in pain, and that makes me laugh so hard every time I watch it.
Oh, we got a fourth guy.
Okay, is this Eric?
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Well, having some juice?
I was saying blue orange.
Okay. We were talking about Sonny. Eric, what was the first episode of Sonny you saw?
I think I didn't actually start watching it until season 3, which I guess is kind of late. I think I saw season 3 episode where they think Charlie's a serial killer or something.
It was Max the serial killer. Yeah, okay, you were a little bit later. Season 3 is kind of the point when the show started getting popular.
Yes, because I started watching it.
Yeah, I saw the first episode of season 3, and I caught back up on season 1 and 2. The interesting thing about watching Frank evolve is that in the second season, Frank is just Danny DeVito.
Yeah, I like how with the first few episodes that he's in, he puts up, like, you know, he's the caring father, and then within, like, three episodes, that's just gone.
Yeah, but he's still fairly crafty. It's by, it's in the middle of season three, he's becoming a lunatic.
He never went back?
Do you remember the episode Mac and Charlie die, and Frank takes it very bad?
He brings around a doll of Charlie.
No, it's a mannequin. And Dennis was upset initially. Then he told them, you know, it's like, you know, I knew you weren't dead. You know, when you're talking, it's pump your lungs in the vent. I hear that. Oh, and I can see out my window. Yeah, I mentioned this on Facebook. I think right now Dennis Reynolds is my hero as far as fictional characters go.
Along with Muscle Man.
I'm more of a Charlie guy.
Yeah, Muscle Man and Dennis.
Dennis is definitely the most sociopathic one.
Yeah, it's very weird. He can't deal with the fact that he's a sociopath. So it's kind of weird. So if you feel bad about the fact that you don't feel bad, isn't that a form of feeling bad?
Well, that's a very detached form of it. Especially when it comes after the fact.
You know what my favorite bit was? One of my favorite bits on the show was, you know the episode when they had the baby funeral?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Okay, they're in the back room, and Dennis is just like this. He's just like, I don't know, Frank, I got to feel something. It's like, what? What's wrong? It's like, well, I've got a God hole. I've got this gaping hole in me because I don't believe in God. I think that's what usually most people fill this hole with. And it's like, it's not really playing for laughs. It's actually kind of sad. And it's not mentioned again.
Didn't he say that, and this is the darkest thing he ever did?
Yeah, that was because they were doing that. There was an interesting interview with the creator of the show, the guy who plays Mac, whose last name I can't pronounce. And he was talking about the season. He had a very interesting view on comedy. Like, you know, that was the season Mac got fat.
Yeah.
And he was talking about it. And he said that, you know, because somebody said it was making fun of fat people, and he explained, no, it's not that, because he said he thought that'd be mean. He said it was funny that Mac became fat.
See, the only problem I have with the show is there's a little too much overlap between Mac and Dennis's, like, sociopathic tendencies. I like it when they're split up in the storyline, but when they're together, it just gets to be a little too over the top, even for me.
I don't think it's so much the overlap of sociopathy. It's more the overlap of egos. The very clashing egos, same type.
I do like the fact
Go ahead.
No, it's just a completely codependent relationship.
Yeah, I mean, the highlight for their relationship for me was the episode this last season where they all go out to the same restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that was like the perfect encapsulation of the Mac and Dennis dynamic.
Yeah, you know, one of the things about how they just very desperately need each other, and it's like they're not good for each other either. Like, you know, if you took each one of them by themselves, they'd be a perfectly fine functioning member of society.
Yeah, they're mutually parasitic.
Except for Frank. Frank is at this point too far gone. And the weird thing is, Frank actually seems to have more of a heart than any of the others. It's just he's also kind of evil.
Yeah, I think he has a heart, but he also has money.
He's also very quick to go into survival mode.
Maybe a little even too quick.
Yeah. Maybe I think you're in survival mode right now. Maybe I am. Maybe I ain't.
You remember the episode when his brother showed up?
Oh, God, that's a good one.
It's a great one. It's basically not even like the stated norm of the show. They basically just thrown little tail in a different
and
style.
They're dancing in the disco, and at one point it's showing him dancing with two guys like, hey, I never danced with two guys. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
That was a unique episode.
Yeah, you know, we,
The last episode of the season had one of my favorite bits ever from the show when Mac disproved evolution.
It took him 3 hours to make those posters just to show it.
I don't think it was just the posters. I think he was actually looking up information on Galileo and Sir Isaac Newton.
Well, in fact, he said, this can be 15 minutes. I'll have this up 3 hours later.
And we couldn't figure out who was right either, because I said, well, no, Frank should pay for it. You know, he damaged it if he damages outside the car. And Neil pointed out, no, he's willing to pay for the outside.
Which really isn't any surface damage. It's just spilling of the milk inside.
So if you guys had to put a percentage on how handicapped Charlie is, what percentage would you put it at? I'm thinking at least 65%.
See, I'm trying to figure out if Charlie is handicapped or if he's insane.
From the Christmas special where it showed him sniffing all the glue when he was a child, I'm sure he's probably at least, like, he probably gets a check from the government every month.
Yeah, he has
brain damage. I'm pretty sure he can probably get a lot of money, but he doesn't know how.
I like how over the years they made the waitress more and more pathetic and weird.
Hold on, I just thought of a good name for a lost episode. Charlie, the welfare queen.
You know, the thing about the waitress is that, you know, at first you think, you know, she's just a regular person Charlie harasses. And then, at this point now, Charlie is clearly too good for the waitress.
How the hell did that happen?
She's just I think it's more the fact that Charlie has a good heart, and she's just an awful person.
I thought that episode was so great, where it was almost like the Dinner for Schmucks storyline, and Charlie had the whole thing figured out from the get-go.
And he was just using this to make the waitress jealous, but Bill had this thing where he was talking about how Charlie's thought process was going about the woman, about how he dumped her too soon.
It's like Homer talking to his brain. You know, it's like, you know, staying with this girl would lead to much more. It's like, wow!
You know, it didn't quite calculate, but I know also that she is very codependent on Charlie now.
Yeah, I mean, if he couldn't get her using again when he met her in AA, I mean, if he couldn't get her drinking again, and then she just falls off the wagon on her own, I think Charlie's pretty much got her right where he wants her now.
Well, it's also like
that
one time.
You know, going back to Rickety Cricket, you know, just think about other characters like Rickety Cricket. He actually just bumps me the fuck out now.
Yeah, because they pushed him so far down the well now. It's like,
dignity.
Oh.
Well, actually, it used to bum me out, but at this point now, he's basically a cartoon character.
He's basically Charlie Dog now.
Yeah, he's just like basically some type of...
They can't keep lowering the bar with him, though. I mean, it's like eventually he's going to reach a point where, you know, he just has to bottom out, and something good's going to have to happen for him.
Well, I have this feeling that he's going to eventually become very rich and evil.
That's what I'm hoping.
Something like that. I was telling Neil that the gang's actually in all their quest for easy money, they passed over several slam dunk lawsuits over the years. But again, that's true of many television shows. Like, I was watching this episode of King of the Hill when Hank and Peggy got kicked off a train in the middle of nowhere. And I'm thinking, you know, they would, you know, in real life, somebody would sue the shit out of this, out of that company. So, we were going on, what's your favorite episode?
I guess Go Ahead, Mary, I'd be it. The Nightmare episode.
Which one?
I think that's I think that's what really made the show go over the top, was finally being well known on the internet and stuff.
Right now, I think my favorite episode is Frank's Little Beauties.
That was a good one, too.
And also,
this might be... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
This might be cheating, but I'm going to go ahead and go with it anyways. It's the Christmas special.
That probably, yeah, that's actually a good answer, because the Christmas special is something, anytime I see Danny DeVito bust out of that couch naked, I nearly pass out laughing. It makes me laugh so much, I went to exactly that part to show my nephews, because I knew it would make them laugh.
I mean, how many times do you get a chance to see Danny DeVito's ass?
It's like a,
if it was up to the network, you'd see a lot more.
I found it funny that he has the same build as my 4-year-old nephew.
Except for maybe a little bit shorter.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, the thing about the Christmas special was, I like the fact the Christmas special, it kept going in the Vera main, and then it went back to where it was very sentimental at the end.
You know, the crazy part is it came out, like, in October. Like, they started selling pre-orders for it, like, in August, I think, and it came out in October. So I literally kept it in the plastic until Christmas Eve.
That's a good plan.
We were watching the special. I can't remember when it was and, like, whenever it came out. We were watching it. And we had a friend come over, and they came over just as Charlie bit Santa on the throat.
Every time I see him all Santa, I just want to go sit on his lap and ask him if he fucked my mother.
I like how the ball Santa was basically like, we got a little special needs child here. We probably need to back up.
I just love how, like, you got the inside vision of just how horrible Mac and Charlie's childhoods were.
The video camera.
The thing is, when you see their lives, you kind of realize the fact that they're not serial killers means they're actually pretty good people.
Yeah, it's a small victory.
Yeah, when you think about the whole idea that the bar is always has opened or hasn't run out of business yet, that's actually, like, credit in their favor.
I feel like they get the bottom feeder drunks, the ones that will drink anywhere.
Yes. They successfully ran the business for several years. That's more than a lot more people.
Yeah, it's one of those, I like that in the last episode of the season when they were getting ready to go out, and this one guy was like, I'll see you guys later. See you, Gus. Just this guy's been drinking in the back of the bar the entire time. What about the episode the gang cracks the Liberty Bell?
That was a good one, too. That one was kind of abstract. I liked it.
The interesting thing about Season 4 is that Season 4 is the first season when the show is a clear hit. And they obviously have a lot more money now, so it's kind of all over the place, but they're doing a lot of experiments. Like, who pooped the bed?
Oh, my God. Who pooped the bed, and at the end it turned out it was Frank?
He did it because it was funny. And Dennis, like, you know, Dennis is looking at it. He said, I know a good goddamn solution to this. Get two different beds.
That was a good one. I also like the one with where Mac and Dennis, they're all going to go have dinner. Mac's going to finally get to meet Ryan Howard and Chase Utley. And it ends up Charlie and Dennis do it. And everybody else gets stranded, and they take all the pictures and send it to him.
Yeah, that one kind of bummed me out for Mac.
I just liked it because it was the best use of glory days ever.
Oh, yeah, they met that trucker who thought they were male prostitutes. I'm trying to remember, he had a term for what they were. And it's like, you know, you got a story arc with this trucker who's obviously struggled to not sleep with male whores. And he finds himself cracking finally, and at the end of it, he's filled with shame. You know, one of my favorite bits ever in an episode was the one when they sold out at Frank's old gang, the Yellow Jacket Boys came. And Hawkey died.
Yeah, that was a great episode. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. You know, I figure while we're here, Dallas comes back next week.
does indeed.
And I don't know, it's going to be kind of bittersweet to watch these episodes. You know, knowing that Larry Hagman's dead.
It is, but at the same time, it's going to be kind of cool that we at least have that, you know, whatever, 6 to 8 episodes left before they finally write him out. I'd rather it be that way than him
Be
cool. Suddenly.
Yeah, we had this list of things that we were saying that JR was going to do before he died. And I was saying to Ideal that he was going to out Edgar Randolph as a pedophile. He bought a very large newspaper ad and put it out in all over the country. And mind you, his children are grown now and don't know anything of it.
Could you imagine JR figuring out social media?
Well, he is on Twitter.
Could you imagine what he would have done to Jeremy Wendell on Twitter back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, they do have older people on Twitter, Jack Welch, Donald Trump, so I could see JR on Twitter doing something.
Or he could put pictures of Dusty Farlow up on Hot or Not.
He's on Facebook playing Farmville. He's trying to get like everyone else to help Wonders Cross and don't want to touch it.
He's ruining everybody else's farms.
Going around for closing on everyone's farms. Taking their subsidy checks.
You know, the thing I want to be the very last scene in this new Dallas is that you go to Cliff Bar's casino and someone's put a bullet in his head. You can't see who it is. You just see a gun and a guy in a cowboy hat.
Yeah, that's how it's got to end. It has to end like that.
That's what I want. And again, I'm not saying you would actually show it, because to have anybody else even speak as JR would be sacrilege.
Well, here's how you do it, Vic. CGI.
Well, it's also it's more the talking, unless we're going to splice together his lines over the years.
Like,
you have to say anything.
I'm Sopranos.
I'm just sad we're not going to have a talk like from Rocky V with Mickey. Just when he just walks into his farm, he just has the monologue.
You know, another thing what I really want from the funeral is, because I think Ray's going to be really broken up about JR being dead. And somehow JR is going to insult him from the grave. They're going to say, Mr. Ewing requested that family members sit on this side, but I was rather, he may have had very specific instructions.
Yeah, they better decommunicate that with the will.
I don't know what he would do to Gary, because I can't imagine. The thing about Gary is there's not a lot JR could do to hurt Gary, because life already kind of kicked him in the ass.
Yeah, marriage fell apart. His daughter hates him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Jock was quite correct. It was quite right not to give Gary his inheritance. The second he got it, he pissed it away.
Well, you know, yet another thing JR was correct about. Valine was no good.
Yeah, sorry. My favorite bit on one of those episodes later was Lucy was being a real prick at the breakfast table about everything JR did her day. He said, well, you know, if you love your mom and daddy so much, why don't you go live with them? That ended the conversation very fast, because I'm thinking, you know, JR's not the one that abandoned you.
Yeah, JR's probably been more of a father to her than Gary ever was.
Yeah, another thing. JR did not want Lucy to have a car. He said she'd get in trouble. Within a week, she was on drugs.
That was the best thing. It was like every week, it was like Lucy's episode was like an after-school special.
It was very strange, because at one point it felt like that she had her own television show that was completely disconnected. I like when she was kidnapped and they're missing for days, and Pam kind of like, oh yeah, she had this problem with photographer stalking her. Should I have mentioned that?
Yeah, especially like maybe season 4, season 5, when we started with Mitch. Mary was that Mitch guy for like maybe 2 or 3 seasons. It seemed like she was on a different show.
Yeah, she's rarely interacting in the storyline.
It was like she was on a different show that sucked. because the Mitch and Lucy storylines were horrible.
And that one, and the photographer's one is one of my favorites just because the photographer looked like a demented Jerry Mathers. And when she saw his shrine, his stalker shrine, she fucked him. And, you know, again, I'm not defending someone kidnapping anybody, but to me, that's a mixed fucking signal.
Yeah, you can tell like, that guy was crazy. He's like, for a second on scene, he's always, like, creepy.
Of course, like I keep saying, watching the storyline, just sick JR on him. JR likes ruining people's lives.
Well, you know, Lucy really never stood a chance. I mean, you look at her, how her romantic life starts out. She's banging her uncle. She ends up being almost forced to marry a gay dude. She ends up marrying a guy who doesn't really like her or her money. And from there, it just kind of only goes downhill.
And it's a comedy of errors.
Oh, and she almost got raped by Brian Dennehy.
And over... God damn, that fucking episode. Like, if I had authority to tell a story in it, I would destroy that episode. I would, like, destroy the master copy of it.
I just had to bring it up.
Oh,
yes,
listen,
and then
yeah,
was Ray's nephew Mickey, and of course he got in a coma. And then Ray pulled the plug out. You know, that was when you know that Lucy was almost gone because they had like she had nothing to do with that storyline. When Ray like pulled the plug out of her boyfriend, she's like missed 5 seconds. They didn't even show her again.
And, you know, and Ray, the thing about it is, when Ray killed that kid, they had this thing where later he's trying to adopt someone. They said, they say you were convicted of murder? Yes, I don't see why that should stop me from adopting a child. And then I see
you say she committed murder? Attempted murder. Hello?
Well, I am a Ewing.
No, it's like attempted murder, attempted rape. Is there anything that these people can do right?
Oh, yeah, I had this thing with Cliff's mom, and I always thought it was very dumb. She said, this is my son, Cliff. He's been accused of murder 3 times. Well, 2 of them were attempted murder. you had the best line about what JR's final wish would be with Sue Ellen. Like, he calls her to his deathbed, and he says, Kristen was a better lay than you.
That's one of my few things I'm proud of.
Yeah, it's like I was very angry when I read that because you had annihilated all of mine. You know, Gordon, Sonny, we created a Twitter account, which we haven't updated in a while, the Sonny Lost Episodes, where we just created our own titles. We had a few, we've had some good ones. We got actually a good bit of content on it before we all got tired or... hit with various mental ailments.
Yeah, we'll pick it up soon.
Yeah, just need to start watching the show again. I ran out of episodes on Netflix shockingly fast.
To prepare for tonight, I rewatched Charlie Goes America on Everybody's Ass. He was so perfect in that episode.
He got stabbed in the neck by a McBoyle, or was stabbed in the back.
Yeah, stabbed in the back with a fork.
I didn't like that they did have his back when he got... The thing, that's one of the things I like about the show is that they show they actually do enjoy each other's company most of the time.
Do they, or is it that nobody else enjoys their company?
I think they enjoy the fact that they bother other people.
I just love how everything with them instantly devolves into them forming into cliques. Like, they can never, ever once have a united front on anything.
No, they're always sabotaging. I didn't like the beginning of the season, the gang recycles its garbage.
That was great.
And they were eating, I liked the whole thing when he said wild card. He jumped out and said, man, I'm glad I checked the brake cables this time.
I was like, how throughout the whole episode, they're like, why do I get the feeling we've done this before?
I think another show has done that, and I can't quite remember what it was.
Oh, no, but, there was a South Park.
Wait, which one was that?
That's the one that had the aliens, that was the all-entire reality show. you know, the talk of the
Okay, that was probably it. Okay, that was probably it. Going back to Dallas, so, you know, we heard this week that Netflix has made a big deal with the Turner Networks about putting the new Dallas on Netflix. And among the adults, and also in addition to things like Regular Show and Adventure Time.
Yeah, I'm pumped for that.
Yeah, which that's like the type of thing that, you know, that'll give me motivation to live at least for a few more weeks. But, you know, the hopeful thing is I'm hoping they eventually put the original Dallas on Netflix.
Yes, and I really hope that somehow they put the original Dallas in HD like they've done for shows like Charlie's Angels and what's that cop show with William Shatner?
T.J. Hooker.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really hoping because I was buying the seasons and I made it up to season 12 and I watched season 12 on streaming on the Forbidden Methods and I can't pay money for these seasons anymore.
You made it further than I did. I bought up to like season 7, and it got to the point where my wife and I would watch an episode before we go to bed. Like we'd be laying in bed watching it, and then that would turn into 2 episodes, and then that would turn into like 4 episodes, and we look at the clock and it's 3 in the morning.
Yeah, it's like season 7. That's a good cutoff point. I think I did mention to you my ideal about how the dream season actually did happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she went down to Columbia to find a shaman. And the shaman basically brought Bobby back to life, but at a terrible cost. I'm going with this.
I don't blame you. It's a great theory.
Yeah. Okay, I've just had a fat-headed baby come in here. My little niece. She's laying on the bed.
But yeah, the ones that looks like Mindy from Buns and Mindy.
Yeah, my sister put her hair up in pigtails when they were taken down. It looked like she had horns or wings, depending on how you look at it. So, the question is, how long do you think the show can go now, the new Dallas?
I give it one more season after the next one. There's no way.
Yeah,
I don't know, I guess it depends on what ratings the season gets by the end.
Well, I feel like he did some stuff with, like, the legacy of JR or something where he had a crazy will. Somehow he's gotten a hold of South Fork, and they have to bend to his whims.
Here's the only way it's going to work. JR's will requires them to all go on a race around the world.
Dallas Wacky Races.
Race for your life.
Dallas is going to be an amazing race.
Now, do you think they'll be able
exactly.
to incredibly... Do you think they'll be able to credibly explain Cliff's actions?
I don't know. I mean, it's like, that's so far-fetched that somebody with as much money as Cliff would still, after all those years, have that much of a vendetta. I mean, I can understand him not wanting to be around the Ewings, but to, like, whore his daughter out, that's beyond sociopath.
Okay, he's pouring his daughter out to his nephew, who he helped raise.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it jumps so many sharks that it's like what the hell? But then at the same time, it somehow looped back around to being believable.
Yeah, well, but you know, you make a good point though, because you know he's made so much money, you know, and basically the problem with the Cliff JR feud is that after the whole Gold Coast. The thing when Cliff became the most powerful oil guy in Texas, that was the end. Cliff won. Well, he didn't really win. It was kind of like how Big Show beat Big Boss Man at that pay-per-view. I mean, sure, he won the wrestling match, but he dug up his dad's casket, so I don't see how that's even.
Yeah. Similar to doing more with Tori Wilson and Del Murray. To recap, Del Murray basically caused the death of Tori Wilson's father by having sex with his death or something, and then Tori Wilson scored her revenge by pinning her in a wrestling match.
Yeah, fair trade.
Yeah. See, I don't mind talking about any of this because Big Boss Man
Jesus, dude, you brought up a living wrestler, Vic.
Well, I'm hoping Big Show's safe. Everyone else, fuck them. Bossman's dead. I don't care. But, you know, that was kind of the problem when you watched that pay-per-view match, because if they had added some weapons and blood and shit, at least that would have been something, but they were saving all the blood for Vince's match in the main event.
That was a weird period where they had no idea how to book the Big Show. And it was like he was looking like he was just going to be another mid-card stiff.
It's a crazy thing when you read about it. And, you know, if you read Mick Foley's second book, it actually goes into detail about it because apparently Show didn't draw at Madison Square Garden or he got a poor pop or something, and Vince panicked.
Odd.
Yeah,
and now look at it. He's one of the most solid guys on the roster now.
Yeah, Big Show's awesome. I was discussing with the kids when we were watching 2000 Royal Rumble how you would deal with the Big Show in that match, and I said your best bet was to get behind Kane and lure them into a confrontation. Oh, God, I'm playing with fire. I can't handle it if I kill Kane and Big Show.
Let's just talk about dead wrestling.
I just can't deal with it. Hold on 1 second. That was my sister again coming in. I'm going to beat the tar out of her. Anyway, so like I was saying, I can't handle it if I kill Kane and the Big Show.
You just watch. They're going to be driving somewhere together, and it's going to be all your fault.
No, no. See, that's where you're wrong. In real life, they don't like each other at all.
Oh, really? All right, because Kane's a libertarian.
Something. Kane hates Big Show. They never really say why, or they say he doesn't like being around him. I think it's because two big guys don't really like hanging out together. It's not necessarily because you're afraid or you're jealous. It's just weird. It's like a magnetic pull.
Isn't that like what you said about the Mighty Ducks? Like, it's like, no, no, no. They have, like, two fat guys in the group. You don't
do
that.
You can't do that unless they're a team. You could do that, but you can't just have two separate fat guy and fat kids. Or two different boys.
That's true. Yeah, you never saw Nelson Muntz muscling or cozying up to anybody.
Yeah, it's like, well, one time the trio boys tried to fight him and he kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah. I never understood that, where it's like Dolph and them and Jimbo and Kearney. Every once in a while they would have adventures with Nelson, and then the rest of the time it's like they didn't even know him.
They're kind of like associates. My belief is probably in the first season of Simpsons, they were writing these episodes at the same time. So they wrote the episode with Nelson and the episode with Jimbo and Dolph and Kearney at the same time, and they didn't even think about it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Which, Bart the General is the highlight of season one. I can't watch season one Simpsons hardly.
Yeah, it doesn't age well, but yeah, Bart the General will never get old.
Yeah, that one is like, aim for the family jewels, and Bart's getting the shit kicked at him, and Homer and the thought bubble's just looking away.
No, he shrugs. But then when he starts getting bubbles, he's doing the whole, you know, ooh, ow, each face.
And then the episode where Smooth was black.
And also, you gotta remember, Homer sounded like this. Now remember, son, aim for the family jewels.
That's pretty good, Neil. Neil can really, like, I swear, Neil, if we could ever get him out to Hollywood, he would be the guy they would hold over the Fox actor voice actor's head to keep them from asking for more money.
Or like I did about Bob's Burgers today, remember?
Neil, do the wife for Bob's Burgers.
Oh, well, we're doing a joke. Oh, come on, Bob. It'd just be fun to, let's go to the new bar. I mean, could you believe a woman going to a titty bar? I mean, look at that. There's a couple of women around here. I mean, look, that woman brought her friend over to watch. I don't think that's her friend.
He's good. I mean, just a little bit of practice. That'd just be enough to keep them actors, that John H. Benjamin, from asking for more money.
Yeah, Billy West better think twice before asking for a raise.
Yeah, see, I'd be Neil's agent, and I'd be hoarding most of the money. I've only
You'd
got one point.
You'd be following it to fund arms groups down in South America.
Eventually, I always wonder what's going to happen to the. I make plans for when I die to write in my will who I'm going to leave Neil to. To make sure he's taken care of. And right now, I'd be like, I think I'm leaving my nephew Dylan.
Yeah, he'd give him a good home.
Yeah, well, you got to be very careful because Neil requires a very careful mixture of coddling and abuse. So I was thinking I'm going to now try to keep us on a weekly schedule for the shows. Do you think you'd come back next week and talk about King of the Hill?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay. All right, because I just finished that up on Netflix, too. I think I skipped part of season two. I think there was one or two episodes I skipped just because I couldn't fucking watch them again for whatever reason, like the Mrs. Wakefield episode. I don't know why. I just didn't want to watch. And also Hank's bully. I will not watch that episode again because I wanted Hank to take that kid and knock the piss out of him. Like, I want to watch a lot of these shows, and I just want Hank to commit violence. I didn't like the one when Bill was diabetic, and the episode ended with him beating the shit out of his doctor.
Yeah, if I can get two fictional characters, to me, I'd love it to be Bill Dotrieve and Charlie.
Well, actually, I was saying this. Okay, let me ask you this, Harpo, Eric. Do you think if Ted Wisonasan asked Khan to suck his dick, do you think he would?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I think, too. I think Khan has less self-respect than Bill does.
Well, Khan's so eager to please the right people.
I picture going something like this. Khan, would you suck my dick for me? But Ted, I'm not gay! That is not what I asked Khan.
Neither am I, Khan.
He just wants to, you know, power over him. Because I'm watching these episodes, and Khan's, like, completely pathetic. Like, that's when his father-in-law stole his show, or he stole his karaoke song, and Khan didn't even try to stop him.
Yeah, it's and weird. It's like, Khan could be such a hard-ass, and then he's just absolutely so submissive to his wife, and he's absolutely so submissive to Ted Watsonathon, or whatever his name is.
It's just he's a very weak man. Basically, he's only brave around people he thinks he has power over.
I think at the end of the day, he really doesn't think he's that much smarter than Hank.
Yeah, it's like that. He just has to do something. Well, he thinks Hank's his best friend. But, yeah, we'll be doing that. In a week after that, we might do a Married with Children show, though I'm kind of cold after Netflix cut my fix off right when I was almost at season 11.
Aw, that sucks.
How many seasons do they have?
Yeah, I made it to the King Kong Bundy episode when he kicked the shit out of Bud.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, Bundy was, and then he thinks Bud was trying to shoot on him. To close the show with a little bit of wrestling news, Harpo, did you hear about this indie wrestler named Steel Horse Vachon that called the cops on a guy for hitting him during a wrestling match?
No.
He said the guy potatoed him, they finished the match, he went to the back and called the cops. And this guy's like 6'5" and nearly 300 pounds.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine if every wrestler that got potatoed by Rob Van Dam called the cops?
Yeah, Matt Hardy said this. He said, if people are going to jail for assault during matches, I'm worried about the APA. He said after they bumped up for a year in 99.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's like seriously, like Bradshaw would have been, like, he would have been on death row by now.
Yeah, there was a story in the Hardy's book when they said Matt Hardy's talking in his shoe when him and Jeff won the belts for the first time. He said they were so proud, but after a month of wrestling the Acolytes, they were like, "Here, you can have the belts back. We're sorry. Just take them." And they said they were getting the shit beat out just because they were pissed at Michael Hayes.
Well, you know. I'm sure a lot of people have taken an ass kicking for Michael Hayes. You know, just ask Buddy Roberts.
Yeah, they asked him. They mentioned this. They said before the pay-per-view that they told him, they said, Farouk went over there. He said, "Look, we're not mad at you, but when we get Michael Hayes, we're going to beat the shit out of him. And if you remember, if you watch that match from Fully Loaded, the Acolytes beat the, I mean, they're stiff with the Hardys, but they're trying to maim Michael Hayes.
People like him, obviously.
Okay,
didn't someone shave his eyebrows once?
Yeah. Okay, we're going...